It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the final Fantasy Feast podcast of the preseason. Next week, we start to dive into the week one matchups, helping you guys set your lineups, make the correct decisions, whether it's season-long league or DFS. We're brought to you by FanVice.com, your one-stop shop for your daily fantasy sports needs. They got great tools, articles, even videos like my videos over there at FanVice DFS on Twitter and FanVice.com. Speaking of season-long leagues, it is time to name the last three winners. The draft will be exactly 1 week from today. You guys will be getting an email, but congratulations, Stephen Middleton, Jeff Bach, and Tim Sambor. You are the last three entries in the Fantasy Feast Eaton Redraft League. To the other guys that tried and missed out, better luck next year. I do keep track of everyone that submits an entry, and I keep that in an email folder. So if you try again next year or try for anything else, just let me know so that I know, and I'll go back and check, and you get a great chance next year for anything else we do here on the Fantasy Feast podcast. Really, really looking forward, Evan, to today's guest. Let's just dive right in.
Big Eater of the Week.
Well, as promised, we are now joined by one of the brightest stars in the entire fantasy football galaxy. And I have something of a kinship with him because I think we both went to Ivy League schools and we both formerly were at the mothership, the four-letter network. So we've got a couple of things in common. He has done an absolutely terrific job building up his fantasy platform, fantasy business, if you will, over at harrisfootball.com. I'm talking, of course, about Chris Harris. Chris, it's Ross, it's Evan. Thanks so much for coming on the Fantasy Feast, man.
Of course. I mean, not that we all just talked like last week on my show.
Exactly. That's a good point. If anybody missed Evan and I last week, we were on Chris's show, which is daily. Chris, give us the breakdown. Before I ask you some fantasy questions, give us the breakdown of all that you're doing right now.
Yeah, it's mostly geared around that podcast. It's the Harris Football Podcast, and folks can find it at harrisfootball.com or on iTunes or wherever else you get podcasts. It's five times a week, and I do – so it's like half of the show is me giving my take, and, you know, my take isn't always – it's very much based on watching film, so I try to sort of stay away from the echo chamber and talk about what I actually see on film. I watch every game, every play of every game all throughout the season and report what I see. And then the second half is guests like you guys come on. You know, I have a different rotating cast of characters every day. It's a different person. And you guys were each on individually, not as a team, last week. And that both interviews were amazing, awesome, incredibly great feedback from people. And, you know, I've got other stuff going on, but that's, you know, follow at Harris Football. You can figure out what else I got going on. But the main thing is, if people are looking for a way to augment the feast, because, you know, the feast is awesome, and I know your fans are super, super loyal. If you're looking for another show, you know, maybe give ours a try.
Absolutely. I know Evan has a lot for you, and even my producer Brian has a question for you. I guess I'd like to start, Chris, just by asking you about the current, you know, the biggest news, current events with Tony Romo's injury and Teddy Bridgewater's injury, and really what that means for the fantasy prospects in your mind of the skill guys around them on those two teams.
Yeah, I did lower Dez Bryant. He was the biggest victim in all this to me. I had him as a no-doubt first-round pick, all formats, just felt like part of that safe, whatever you want to call it, like 4-6, 4-7, you know. I was going to take him in the middle to the end of a first round, and I'm not going to do it now. He's more of a second rounder to me, and I understand the argument if you want to go lower than that. Dak Prescott, nice few preseason throws, but you know what I remember about the draft evaluation process with him was throwing mechanics a mess, footwork a mess, tries to do too much throwing with his upper body, accuracy problems. You know, I can't imagine like 3 months with Jason Garrett has changed his entire way of being. It just takes longer. So I think Dez suffers a little. I didn't lower Zeke, but as Evan knows, I was lower on Zeke already. He's a second-round pick for me, and so I sort of just let the pack maybe come back to me a little bit. To me, you could argue one way or the other with both Adrian Peterson and Zeke Elliott. You could argue, on the one hand, they have to run more. More volume is good. I'll take that. On the other hand, you know, more defensive attention because defenses know that, more stacked boxes, et cetera. I don't think it always necessarily works out either way. It's sort of case by case. In neither case with Peterson or Elliott did I lower them. Just assuming I'm going to go with based on my evaluation of their talent and their situation, you know, in terms of sort of overall offensive philosophy, and stick with Peterson really, really high. I mean, he's my number one pick in a standard league still, and Elliott more of like a, you know, mid-second rounder.
So then one more quarterback question, at least one more, from our producer, Brian, who never does this, by the way, Chris. So you should feel honored that Brian has a specific question that he would like to ask you. Go ahead, Bri.
All right. This is episode 152. We have never discussed this in the previous 151 episodes, and that is two quarterback leagues. I play in a two quarterback league and trying to get advice on when to draft quarterbacks, when, you know, and I see some of them going, you know, off the charts, you know, real quickly. But I've always been listening to you guys saying, well, wait on quarterbacks. But with a two quarterback league, how is that different? When should you start taking them?
Yeah, it's only different in that it's entirely different. It really is. It creates scarcity in a position that doesn't have scarcity in normal formats. So, and I love two quarterback leagues, and I think if you argued that Cam Newton's the number one overall pick in a two quarterback league, I would not argue with you. I think he's a first-round pick for sure. Not that everybody's going to have the philosophy that says I want to take him, but the reason we wait on quarterbacks in standard, you know, one quarterback leagues is there's just not scarcity. There's only going to be 12 of them starting in any given week, so what do I care? You know, they're all great. Well, in two quarterback league, you know what? You could have some real stinkers starting. I think you can make any strategy work if you get the right guy. Last year, if you get Blake Bortles, you get Kirk Cousins, they had good statistical years, and you made that work waiting on quarterback, even a two-quarterback league. I think it's very viable that two, maybe three quarterbacks go in the first round of a two-QB league. I think even if you're quote-unquote going to wait on quarterback, you're probably going to have to grab, if you want. Now, I would prefer to have someone in the top 12, 14, and those 12 and 14 guys are going to go in the first five or six rounds. I think you got to get one at least in that range.
Anything else, Brian? Are you good?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, now the amateurs will move out of the way, Chris, and we'll let Evan get down to business, because Evan, people don't realize this, when Evan comes on, Evan is like that movie where the guy just is all consuming any information he can. Evan uses this to sharpen his skills. So I'm sure Evan's got quite a bit of information he wants to try to get your opinion on. Go ahead, Evan.
That's an interesting analogy, Ross. I've always thought of myself more as like the Batman and you're my Robin.
No, you know what? Well, I appreciate that. It's interesting that you said Batman, because I look at you, Evan, and one of the things I like about you is, isn't it Batman where Bruce Wayne has that, and Morgan Freeman, they have that thing where they can get all the information from the entire city and like compute it at one time?
Yeah,
That's what you're trying to do with fantasy football. You get everybody's opinion so that you can feel best about yours. So go ahead.
Yeah, so I actually, Chris, I just wanted to ask you a general philosophy question, because I know that you are big on trying to filter out noise. Big on that. So how do you approach the preseason? Are you watching every snap in the preseason? Are you paying attention to where players are being utilized in the preseason in regard to the depth chart? You know, what would you say that your overall philosophy on paying attention to preseason game is?
If I could sum it up in one word, it would be not. I try to stay away from it as much as I can. The third week in the preseason, less so. I didn't watch a ton of it live. I've watched a lot of it on NFL Game Pass, right? So I've seen Josh Gordon make the play. I've seen what Dak Prescott looked like. You know, I've seen enough in the third week of the preseason to have a general sense. But I think you're making, not you, people in general are making a mistake by drawing too many conclusions from preseason performances, because not only is it, you know, who is that guy? Is it some third stringer that guy's going up against? Or was the left tackle not their usual left tackle, so the quarterback looked worse or whatever? Not only that, but Ross knows this, defenses in the preseason just aren't going to bring the kitchen. They aren't going to tip their hands. They might blitz. I saw some blitzing in week three for sure, but not complicated blitzes. Not really trying to confuse you. Not the traditional Belichick, like, what are they even doing out there? Where's Patrick Chung running? You know, a lot of times in the regular season, that's what you get. That's why Mark Sanchez loses his mind, right? So I want to be careful drawing too many conclusions. Then I want to counterbalance it by not being so stubborn as to not notice when, you know, Josh Gordon made a really nice play over Brent Grimes, and it's good to see that he can do it, and it makes me feel okay about the idea. Maybe there's some confirmation bias there, but it makes me feel okay about the idea that, you know, I'm grading him as, if you took him in the sixth or seventh round and waited on him for a month, that could work out pretty well for you. More trying to filter out the preseason than trying to learn lessons from it, but I admit, you know, I'm a member of the echo chamber, so sometimes the echoes do get in my ears too.
The Titans offense, speaking of a team that has really excelled this preseason, the Titans offense has looked almost unstoppable. I mean, DeMarco Murray, on every run, it seems like he's got an alley, as Merrill Hodge likes to call it, and he looks great. What are your thoughts this year on DeMarco Murray, and what are your thoughts on that, on Derrick Henry, and your thoughts on that entire Titans backfield? Do you think that one thing that Ray Summerlin, who writes for Roto, I think he's been on your show too, Chris, he noted that the Titans are doing more kind of exotic stuff than any team in the NFL so far this preseason. I mean, they've done, I think, two Statue of Liberty plays. You know, they're doing a ton of misdirection and bootlegs. And it seems like they have been actually scheming their offense in the preseason. So, where are you at with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry and Dexter McCluster?
Would you say maybe it's been an exotic smash mouth? Would you say maybe that's...
It has.
Hashtag
it has.
Where I am is pretty dubious. I mean, Ray Summerlin literally on my show on Wednesday, the day we're taping this, so it's good synergy. Good synergy with Roto World. Where I am is, listen, if Ray is noticing that they're scheming for the preseason, maybe that explains why they look so good, because most teams don't scheme for the preseason. But, you know, my thought about Murray is, I've never thought he was an elite talent. I think he's an above average talent. He's a good player, but I don't think he's the player who would anywhere else but in Dallas in 2014 have produced that kind of season. And I didn't view him as a first round pick. I'm not even sure I had him as a second round pick last year in Philly. And I'm lower on him than most everybody this year too. Not because I think he's bad. Like I said, I think he's an above average player. I think he's got real legitimate acceleration for a guy his size. I think he's got pretty good, you know, not a lot of lateral quickness, but good one-cut quickness. Catches the ball pretty well. I am okay on his skills, film-wise. I just don't view it as a good offense. I can't imagine that Jack Conklin coming to the offensive line suddenly has turned it into world beaters. It was a bottom five offensive line last year. Maybe Ross came on my show and gave a really compelling case for how lines do turn it around. Maybe this is a case where they have turned it around and I'm just being a slow adopter. And I admit, by the way, that Ross has a way better sense of that than I do. And I would defer to his judgment in that regard, but I'm just don't think it's going to wind up being a very good offense or a very good team. And I like Derrick Henry quite a bit. I have those guys a lot closer than the market tends to. And therefore I'm finding that I'm, you know, in the middle rounds winding up with Henry rather than in the early rounds winding up with Murray.
I dig it. Latavius Murray, some weird stuff went on with him in the third preseason game where the Raiders were playing Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington with the ones, with the Derek Carr group. I know that you would much rather talk about the talents of Latavius Murray than, you know, his usage in the third preseason game. And I tend to agree with you, because I think that Jack Del Rio even came out and said that they just wanted to get DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard work with Derek Carr. But where are you with Latavius Murray? Because he's someone that, like, people are starting to get scared of him just based on this third preseason game.
Right. I agree with you that probably wouldn't be a reason to be scared. I actually happened to – that's maybe the one game I did watch live, or maybe one of two. And I noticed it. I saw Murray's in there. I was like, oh, it's a couple good runs. Where'd he go? And then the other guys were in. And I figured, early night for Murray. And then he came back. And that was weird. Like, usually you wouldn't see that. You know, it was like three series off, play the series again. Seemed very much to me like, let's just look at everybody with every, you know, just different combinations. But let's say this. Like, everyone's a platoon back. I think Latavius Murray is a platoon back. Doug Martin last year was a platoon back. Like, you get 60% of the workload right now in the NFL as a running back, you're doing pretty good. And if you're getting way more than 60, that's why we're considering maybe taking you in the first round, because it's rare. And so I think certainly Latavius Murray's getting 60% of the snaps. I think that's just enough for him to be pretty rock solid RB2. And, you know, people that size who run that fast and who have that kind of snap, that kind of acceleration, you just don't find them that often. I think, you know, big players who should be their own goal line backs and who also home run threats, you know, I think he has weaknesses as a runner. So far on film, I see a player who, like, kind of doesn't know where he's going, you know, kind of like the field vision, not so great, running to his lineman sometimes. But when he hits it pretty good. And I guess, like, he's somebody I'm making some excuses for, because I do see some negatives, but I see a lot of positives too.
All right. So we got in San Francisco, we got Carlos Hyde, we got Blaine Gabbert, we got Torrey Smith, we got Vance McDonald, Garrett Celek. We got an offensive line that is comprised of a guy who just came out of retirement, a center who spent 6 years in the NFL, has 10 starts, a rookie guard, and another guard who got cut last year by the Jaguars, and the right tackle who was a 7th-round pick last year. Do you think that Chip Kelly has magic?
I don't. I think that's it's a vastly overstated. I think coaching changes in general, offensive system changes, are real, but vastly overstated. Like, he's playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. Like, that didn't happen in Philly. You know, playing fast didn't really last year work except for it meant they punted faster. You know, playing fast works great if you're playing well, but if you're playing bad, you're just off the field quicker. I'm going to say, though, and I'm going to assume that Ross has said this to you, Evan, he made a pretty compelling case to me that he thinks the Niners might be pretty improved on the line, and that Anthony Davis coming back and, granted, playing guard instead of tackle could make kind of an interesting difference. And, you know, Zane Beatles did get cut, but it was for money reasons, and maybe he kind of is chastened by the fact that he got paid and didn't play that well. And maybe, you know, you could spin the offensive line in a different direction. I don't think we're going to know for sure until we actually see it, but I thought that was a pretty interesting case that Russ made on my show. I'm with you mostly, though. You know, Carlos Hyde, whatever glimmer, you know, he gets a concussion in the preseason, and whatever glimmer of, like, maybe, you know, you kind of go, well, why am I bothering? I feel like, in large part with the Niners, I kind of feel like, for fantasy, why am I bothering?
Jamal Charles. So last night, Twitter kind of erupted because Adam Teicher of ESPN, long time, I mean, he used to write for the KC Star. He came out and basically said that Jamal Charles almost seems like the third back in the rotation at Chiefs practice. And he's the, you know, the number, like, Spencer Ware is getting most of the first team reps, and Sharkhandrick West will get some, and then maybe Jamal Charles will sprinkle in for a few. And there were some quotes kind of indicating that from Jamal Charles and Andy Reid, kind of indicating that just Charles isn't ready yet. So again, I know that you're big on trying to filter out noise, but where do you stand on Jamal Charles right now?
I lowered him, and I hate that I lowered him. I didn't really do it because of these quotes, because you know, I really try not to read any of those. That piece in the end wound up being kind of just a soft focus puff piece. This is a good beat reporter for sure, and a talented guy, but not someone who was really like trying to blow the doors off of anything. I'm going to guess the most surprised person in the world that this turned into a big thing is this reporter, you know, because it really was meant to be like, let's get a quote from Andy Reid about Jamal Charles. Let's get a quote from Jamal Charles. Let's move on. It didn't feel like it was informed by any, like, you know, somebody in the Chiefs front office who's saying, you know, secretly we're trying to let leak that we're going to ease Charles in here, which we get, you know, I mean, it's the Ladarius Green thing, right? Like, secretly we're going to tell you what's really going on with this guy's head. My sense is that's not what this was, and that if you actually read Andy Reid's quote, and I'm going to read it to you, it's much more innocuous, I think, than it's being made out to be. Tom Bahali is a little further along than what Jamal is right now. Both of them are making progress. It looks like every day they're getting a little bit better. They're moving around pretty good. They're getting a lot of work, which is important, and they're pushing themselves. We've kind of eased them to the point here, and we'll keep giving them more as we go. Both of them, you don't have to worry about work ethic. It's just a matter of knocking some rust off. I mean, I'm sorry, that could mean literally anything. That's like politician speak. That's like, let's just put together some nouns and verbs. You know, I don't feel like it's like I'm secretly telling you that he's not going to play. That's literally the only quote from Andy Reid in there. We'll keep giving them more as we go. Like, that could mean tomorrow's practice, or it could mean week six. I don't think there's any way of knowing. And therefore, I wanted to completely ignore it, and yet I'm starting to get cold feet. I've had Charles really high, and I've bumped him down from, you know, in a standard league, Evan, I had him 3, you know, just kind of whistling past the graveyard. And at some point, it's like, okay, I have to acknowledge the possibility exists that he's just not what he's expected to be in September. I think eventually he will be. So I've bumped him down to like 10 or so, and maybe that's a little more in line with the markets. I feel like a coward for doing it based on this, because it's really not how I want to function. But damn it, I'm a man. I'm not just an android.
Right. Yeah. After that, I hit up another guy who covers the Chiefs, and he was like, "We're going to use, or the Chiefs are going to use the crap out of Spencer Ware early in the season." I mean, he's been catching passes in practice. He's been catching some passes in the preseason too. So I think that they probably do ease in Jamal Charles. And also, but it's also worth noting that, I mean, Jamal Charles only returned, you know, or came off the PUP list like 7 days ago. So, you know, the fact that he hasn't jumped in with the ones immediately and is like, you know, working as the every down back, I mean, maybe that's not fair to him. I mean, it was like 7 days ago with a preseason game mixed in the walkthroughs around it. You know, so he really hasn't even had a chance to practice a whole lot.
It probably doesn't mean anything. And frankly, come mid-October, when he is back to whatever he's going to, you know, whatever he's going to be at top form, given his age and the knee, and I think that top form is going to be great. We're not going to remember this. We're going to be like, I'm psyched I own Jamal Charles.
Ross, I got two more for Chris.
Go for it.
All right. Matt Jones. So, you know, a lot of reasons for concern, I think, even entering the season. Now he's hurt. What are you doing with Matt Jones, Chris?
I lowered him. I'm fascinated to hear what you did. I mean, I didn't really knock the stuffing all the way out of him, but I no longer was like, okay, you're really not in that third tier anymore. You're more, I'm okay if I wound up taking you as an RB2, you know, one of the later ones, if I've stocked up on some better receivers. Whereas, you know, before I thought obviously the fumbling was the big problem, and let's maybe not bounce so many runs out on the outside, too much of that on film. And he got away with it, you know. He's fast, so he got away with it. But just generally, he and David Johnson, I, you know, guys that size, I just want to see him hit it hard, because a lot of times you'll break through, and when you do, you're gone, as opposed to getting caught from behind by a linebacker running towards the line of scrimmage. But, yeah, shoulder, right? Liz Loza from Yahoo came on my show and was like, shoulder. You know, I think that shoulder's going to get used like 300 times this year. Maybe shoulder injury, not so good. But I'm fascinated, Evan, like, how far did you go, wind up dropping him?
Well, I was trying to stay optimistic about him because it looked like he was in line for a lot of work in an offense that I think is going to be pretty good. I actually think that I like the offense better than you because I think that Kirk Cousins will have a good season this year. And I think that they'll be able to score points. And, you know, he would be a candidate to, you know, get a bunch of bunny TDs. And he could get a lot of work, too. I mean, I think he wasn't that great as a runner last year, but he was pretty good in the passing game. He made some splash plays in the passing game. And I thought he had a chance to, you know, I think the Redskins are going to sign another back. I mean, they just lost Keith Marshall. They're going to get somebody at waivers. I think Chris Thompson ends up with a big role in this offense either way. And I was willing to look at Matt Jones like in the sixth round previously. And now I think that I probably wouldn't look at him until about the eighth or ninth round.
Yeah. Which probably means neither, you know, you're not getting them at that price probably. Right. And you're probably okay with that. It's just too much risk. Yeah.
Right. All right. Last one. Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills. This has been, you know, this is a lot of coach speak here. A lot of preseason depth chart stuff, you know. So what is your take on Devontae Parker and Kenny Stills right now? I think that this offense ends up throwing the ball a lot because I think that their running game is not going to be consistent. And I think that their back seven on defense is just – it might be the worst in football. So I think that this – so I personally am staying optimistic about Devontae Parker, even though there are some obvious red flags here. I mean, I had to drop him in my rankings and move Kenny Stills up. But how are you treating this situation?
I didn't move them, and I'll tell you why. Even though I acknowledge Stills, you know, is more of a part of the picture than I ever thought he'd be. You know, my rankings, I don't feel like are a predicted order of finish. It's more the order in which I would kick these guys. And I'm trying to imagine a situation where I feel good about using Kenny Stills at any point with Ryan Tannehill as his quarterback. Because Stills, while he has one good trick, it is one trick. You know, it's just deep speed, and that's kind of it. And Ryan Tannehill is not that good at that or hasn't been in the past. Maybe he's fixed it. But so far, you know, I saw Mike Wallace try it, you know, and I saw Kenny Stills try it last year, and there just was nothing there. And so I'm more interested in the more complete receiver, theoretically. I mean, he might not be, but he's bigger. He can be more of a flanker type. He can be more of an over-the-middle type, you know, and plus he has really good deep speed. So, you know, honestly, even if the season starts and in two receiver sets, Parker's not out there, it's hard for me to believe he won't be out there in three receiver sets, and the base set in the NFL is three receivers. So I think he'll play a bunch, and if he doesn't, I'll drop him, and it'll have been a mistake. But my issue with Stills is just, like I said, have a hard time imagining a situation where I go, yep, you know, my other guy who I thought I could rely on went down, Kenny Stills is next man up, cool, I feel good about him as my fill-in guy. To me, more of a like, okay, prove me wrong and you're a waiver player than me spend a draft pick on you.
Awesome. Yeah, those are some tough questions, and I think you answered them all well. Ross, you can take it away.
Yeah, Chris, really appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping aboard. Again, everybody needs to head over to harrisfootball.com to check out all the great stuff that Chris has over there. It's really, really impressive what you've built. You even handled Brian's two quarterback question like a pro because that's exactly what you are. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for having me on, guys. It was a blast. You know I will say yes anytime.
Really, really enjoyed that interview with Chris Harris. Every week, it seems like we talk to someone that's just so knowledgeable. Even just hearing the way you guys break down quotes and what beat writers do, it's really, really impressive. Almost as impressive as being able to listen to whatever you want, whenever you want, like you can with Audible. The Audible app makes listening a breeze with features like chapter navigation, narration, speed control. Here's the deal, right? My wife has a commute to work. She has an Audible account now. She got a 30-day free trial. She already downloaded her first audiobook for free. She loves it. I mean, she listens to audiobooks all the time while she's driving. Audible has more than just books, they've got shows, they really have anything you want, comedy, news, and the best part about it for you guys, it's totally free. 30-day trial, give it a shot, see if you like it, download your first audiobook for free, go to audible.com/FF to get started. Again, that's the specific link, that's the key to get the free 30-day trial and audiobook, audible.com/FF. Frank Frank, Fantasy Feast, Fantasy Football for a free 30-day trial and audiobook. Next meal.
Next meal.
All right, Evan, I asked Chris, but we got to get your thoughts, too. You're the star of the show. Romo out 6 to 10 weeks. I wrote a letter to him this week where I think he should seriously consider never playing football again. Bridgewater obviously out for the season. Curious to get your thoughts. We heard what Chris had to say. Do you agree with Chris, or is there anywhere you disagree in terms of the impact it has on other Cowboys and Vikings?
I mean, I largely agree with Chris. I don't think we disagree on anything. It's just we can go a little bit more specific. With Dak Prescott, I think he immediately comes into play as a very, very, very intriguing daily fantasy play, because he is the minimum price on both of the two big sites. And he starts against the Giants, and he's got the Bears, and he's got the Redskins and the 49ers. I don't think we expect any of those defenses to be shut down defenses. I think that some of them will be improved. You know, I love the Redskins boundary corner duo. I like what the Bears have put together in the front seven, but we're not going to, you know, be like, oh, well, this is a scary matchup. I think we are going to want to be on Dak Prescott in week one against the Giants at home. And I think we're also going to want to be on Ezekiel Elliott. This offensive line is dominant. I think that they're going to run read option with Dak Prescott. They haven't done a lot of that in preseason, but they've done it a little bit. So you know it's in the repertoire, and I think we're going to see a lot of it right away. And I don't think that the Cowboys' offensive philosophy is going to change a whole lot. I mean, it may even veer more run heavy. They need to keep their defense off the field. This is how they had success in 2014. They didn't draft Ezekiel Elliott because it was going to make their defense better, but they drafted Ezekiel Elliott because they thought he gave them a better chance of hiding their defense, which is going to be bad if it's on the field a lot and it gets exposed. So I really like Dak Prescott in daily fantasy to start the season, and I think he's worth a look in season-long leagues for sure, especially if you draft Tom Brady, because Tom Brady is going to be on suspension until week five, and Dak Prescott gets that cakewalk schedule in the first four games of the season. I did lower Dez a little bit. But I'm not changing how many targets he's going to get this year. It's just there are some familiarity things with a veteran quarterback like Romo on, you know, back shoulder throws, et cetera. You know, that trust factor that is hard to quantify, but is very important. You know, there might not be that there be the same sort of efficiency, I don't think, with Dak Prescott, but I still like Dez as a second round fantasy pick. And if you can get him, like if he falls to you in the third round because people are scared of the rookie quarterback, take him 10 times out of 10. In Minnesota, you know, again, the target projection doesn't really change for Stephon Diggs, who really is the only pass catcher in Minnesota right now that we're looking at in fantasy. And it actually, his target projection arguably even goes up if this suddenly becomes, you know, a worse team that's playing from behind a lot more. The Vikings have one of the toughest schedules in football this year. I think that their offensive line additions haven't necessarily worked out quite as well as they anticipated, at least with Andre Smith. So I like Stephon Diggs, I would say even more than I did before, because the bottom is just going to fall out on his average draft position, where he was starting to get some hype and people were starting to take him like seventh, eighth round. I think you could probably get him like 9th, 10th now. I think that Stephon Diggs is in a great spot with Laquon Treadwell not moving up. And Adrian Peterson is a guy that I've been, I think, lower than most people from the get-go, so I'm not going to lower him a whole lot. But it puts a damper, I think, on his touchdown projection just because I don't think that the offense is going to be quite as good. But, again, I kind of like Stephon Diggs even more now.
Interesting. I love it. You know what else I love? Free money and making things more interesting in life. Look, we only get one chance to go around. You might as well make everything you watch more interesting. NFL is here. How about making preseason week 4 more interesting? No matter how you want to make it more interesting or get free money, the place is BetDSI.com. It's the second year I've been with BetDSI.com, and they upped the ante for you guys this year with promo code Tucker15, and you get $15 free to bet the NFL or really anything else going on. If you want to bet UFC or Major League Baseball or whatever. But you can make preseason week 4 more interesting or just get ready for week 1 of the NFL. At any rate, I don't understand why anybody wouldn't go to betdsi.com, put in the code Tucker15, and bet $15 and see what happens. You might as well. That'll do it, by the way. Bri, Evan, for today's Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. Good stuff with Chris Harris. Make sure you're checking out Evan on Twitter at Evan Silva. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Bri is at RTF Podcast. If you want to hit him up there as well, we really appreciate retweets. We really appreciate likes on Facebook, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. We are the place for you to be to get your fantasy information, who to put in your lineup, all these things in the weeks to come. And we are presented by FanVice.com, the home for all your daily fantasy sports needs. They have posted my Tucker in the Trenches segments. Check them out and follow them on Twitter at FanVice DFS. I'm stuffed. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at RossTucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
One more thing, Bri, that has to be mentioned, and that is DraftKings.com. Look, tomorrow night, week 4 of the preseason, this is when it's really crazy to go to a place like DraftKings.com and see if you can win. Look, a lot of the experts out there tell you it's your best chance to have success is the one-week fantasy in the preseason because not as many people play, they're not as informed. You guys listen to the Fantasy Feast podcast, you're informed. Hurry to DraftKings.com now to choose your players. You can seriously cash in. Or wait till week 1. I get it. Either way, use the code FEAST and play for free with your first deposit. That's code FEAST to play for free for your share of the $5 million in total prizes in this week 1 contest. Only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. I did it. I finally did it. I got a new car. I've been talking to you guys about it for a while. I got a new car. I needed one. My other one died. I got a new Denali, and I used TrueCar because why wouldn't I? I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for months now, and it's just a better experience. I mean, you're able to lock in the savings with a dealer on the website. They've got a huge certified dealer network. So if you're not sure how it works, you just go to the TrueCar website or you use the TrueCar app, and they've got this bell curve. It's a pricing curve that shows you exactly what that vehicle you want is going for in your local market. And then you can actually online connect with a TrueCar local certified dealer of your choosing, and you lock in the savings off the MSRP. You just go in, you hand them the certificate that you printed out off your computer, and boom, you're good to go. Over 2 million cars have been sold to True Car users by the True Car Certified Dealer Network. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the True Car app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.